The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. Please turn to page 91 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semain, the son of Joseph, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eliezer, the son of Joram, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Simon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Joanan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Malaya, the son of Menna, the son of Matada, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serub, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Amen. The following is a newspaper article about a story told by Korea National University of Arts professor Hong Seung-chan on a TV show. The Washington Post Sunday magazine published an interesting cover story on January 12, 2007. Joshua Bell, one of America's most noted violinists, played for people on their way to work at a subway station in Washington, D.C. Wearing a Major League cap and shabby clothes, Bell took out his violin out of its case, threw a few $1 bills and coins into the case, and began playing. Starting at 7:51 a.m., he played six pieces on repeat for 45 minutes without taking any breaks. He earned $32. Bell was a violinist that earned more than $1,000 a minute. So if he had played the same pieces at a concert, he would have earned more than $45,000, which is more than 53 million won. But that day, he earned $32, which is around 38,000 won. The violin he was playing Stradivarius cost $3.5 million, which is 4.12 billion won according to the latest exchange rates. Not long after, a similar event took place in Korea. The busiest of subway stations in Seoul during rush hour is Gangnam Station. The busiest exit at Gangnam Station is known to be Exit 6. So the musician decided to play right below Exit 6. The musician was Pi Ho Young, a Songshin Women's University professor and one of Korea's most talented violinists. He heard that a musical instrument store had a Stradivarius violin on display and pleaded and borrowed this violin. On May 2nd, 2007, at 8:45 a.m., wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a fishing hat, and with a bushy beard, a man appeared with a violin case, opened the case, and began to play. He had placed a 5,000 won bill, two 1,000 won bills, and two 500 coins in his case. P played six pieces on repeat that the public was generally familiar with. They included Paganini's Sonata for Violin and Guitar, Elgar's Salute d'Amour, and Sarasati's Signer Weisen. From 8:45 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., he earned a total of 16,900 won during the 45 minutes. The violin P played was actually worth twice the Stradivarius that Joshua Bell played at the subway station. It cost about 7 billion won. About 9,500 people were estimated to have passed P playing the violin that day. Among them, 21 tipped him, 14 of whom gave 1,000 won, 4 who gave 500 won, and 3 who gave 300 won. Among the 9,500 people who passed by him, only 5 people stopped to listen to him play for more than 2 minutes. The person who stayed the longest was an overseas concert planner for a renowned musician. The person in a rush went up the stairs to exit 6 but came back down and listened for 5 minutes. And then gave P a 1,000 won bill and his name card, thinking he should ask P to play in Australia. After P finished playing, the 3 people who had organized the event were going to go to nearby bakery to eat and talk about the day. But they didn't feel like going. They were going to spend the money P earned on breakfast, but instead decided to keep the money in an envelope. And the money is still known to be in the envelope to this day. If any of the people that passed P that day knew who he was and what his performance was worth and how much the violin he was playing cost, they would have at least watched him play for several minutes, even if they didn't watch for the entire 45 minutes. If they had the time, they may have stayed for some time, impressed by P's performance. It is okay to think of the musician that played that day as a person who lives off playing on the street, and to think of the violin that was played that day as not worth 7 billion won, but 700,000 won, and to not know of any of the music that was played that day. But if we do not know about Jesus Christ properly, and only see him from a narrow point of view, and regard him as someone who is irrelevant from us, our lives cannot be linked to a life of eternity. Today's passage tells about how the people of the time thought of Jesus and who he really is through Jesus' genealogy. Some of you may see this passage for the first time, or some may think, wasn't Matthew chapter 1 about Jesus' genealogy? For many Christians, genealogies are part of the Bible that they are not familiar with, in addition to parts in Exodus and Leviticus that are about offerings to God. They may be parts that we do not really wish to know about. So even if we are reading out the Bible aloud, when you reach these parts, we skim through them, and sometimes we just look at the part and turn the page. It wouldn't matter if a list or chart such as a genealogy was not related in any way to us. But if it is relevant to us or our family, we would pay attention. For example, a person who does not invest in stocks will not pay attention to stock price charts. Even if they did, they would only look at stock that is important to them or observe sharp rises or falls. But things will be different for people actually investing in stocks. The rise and fall of stock that they hold will affect their state of mind. The list of students who have passed the college entrance exam or state exam will exert great influence on the student or their family members. 2 days earlier, test takers of the 2022 Korea Scholastic Ability Test were notified of their scores. But a court decision stated the answer to problem number 20 in the life science test, which had caused a controversy, be put on hold. So those who took the life science test received a slip that did not have the subject's score on it. Those who took the life science test totaled 6,515, which is only 1.5% of the 448,000 of test takers in total. But the final decision concerning the life science test will affect most takers of the KSAT. And it will be of utmost concern to those who took the life science test how the conclusion will be drawn. The following happened when I took my driver's license test in 1995. At the time, applicants took the driving skill test after passing a written exam. I failed both the written exam and the driving skill test twice. This was because I didn't take the first and second written exams seriously. I didn't even finish solving a problem book before the exam. Because I applied for the first type of driver's license, I had to get at least 80 out of 100 to pass the test. I got 76 on my first written exam, and at the time, I felt a sense of despair. This was when I was serving as a full-time pastor at a church. I went back to church that day but stayed quiet the whole day. The same situation unfolded when I took the second written exam. The names and scores of the people who took the test that day were printed and put up on the wall. There was a red line drawn between the scores 80 and 78. At the top of the list of people who failed the test because they got a 78 was my name. Dejected, I walked out of the test site. There was a bridge in front of the site, and momentarily I felt like jumping from the bridge. Before I took the test for the third time, I finally studied and got the highest score among those who took the test that day. The supervisor asked me to stand up, and the rest of the test takers applauded for me. When we think that a genealogy or list is irrelevant from us, it feels meaningless and is regarded boring. But when there is a deep relation with us, it has meaning. The reason today's genealogy is important is because it is the genealogy of Jesus who is our Savior. Today's genealogy and the one in the book of Matthew are both those of Jesus, but they have a different meaning. The genealogy in the book of Matthew starts with Abraham and ends with Jesus. But the genealogy in today's passage starts with Jesus and ends with Adam. And the genealogy in today's passage is not divided by a time frame, while the one in the book of Matthew is divided by 14 generations each, from Abraham to David, from David to when the Israelites became war prisoners of Babylon, and from when they were war prisoners to when Jesus was born. But the time from Abraham to David is around 1,000 years, from David to Babylon war prisoners, 430 years, and from Babylon war prisoners to Jesus, about 550 years. Isn't it strange that the time frames have 14 generations each, despite several hundred years of difference? The genealogy in Matthew was made to have 14 generations in each of the time frames. If there are three sets of 14 generations, there should be 42 people. But when counting the names, there are only 41. Still, Matthew refers to 14 generations for each time frame. Why would Matthew have divided the genealogy of Jesus into 14 generations each? This is to emphasize that Jesus came as a descendant of David, as the King of Jews. The Hebrew alphabet originally only had 22 vowels, and it had numeric value from 1 through 400. David's name was comprised of the 4th, 6th, and 4th characters of the Hebrew alphabet, which brings the numeric value of his name to 14. So Matthew divided the genealogy into 14 generations each. And while there are only 41 names in the genealogy, David's name is counted twice. In the genealogy from David to Abraham to David, and from David to the time of the war prisoners of Babylon, which adds up to 42. This was to emphasize that Jesus Christ was born from the genealogy of a king. So the book of Matthew is referred to as the Gospel of Kings. At the center of Israel's flag are two blue intersecting equilateral triangles to show a star in the form of a hexagon. This is called the Star of David. But the actual Star of David looks different. In Bethlehem in Israel, there is a worship hall marking the birth of Jesus at the place where Jesus is presumed to have been born. And there is a Star of David marked on the floor. The star there, however, is not a pentagon or a hexagon. It has 14 points according to the numeric value of David's name. But the genealogy of today's passage perplexes us because it is different from the one in the book of Matthew. Not only do they differ in the number of names mentioned. In the book of Matthew, David's son is recorded as Solomon, as we know him to be. But in today's passage, it states David's son is Nathan. In addition, in the book of Matthew, it says Jesus' grandfather is Jacob, but in today's passage, it says it is Heli. The genealogies are so different, it is difficult to tell whether it is about the same person. The two differing genealogies are one of the parts of the Bible that have not been fully explained. One of the explanations that have been accepted is that the book of Matthew records the genealogy of John and the book of Luke that of Mary. The latter shows that Joseph married Mary, who was an only child, and became the son-in-law of Heli and his legal heir. At the time, when a man did not have a son, it would often be the case that they made their son-in-law their son. Let's look at verse 23. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. The verse tells of when Jesus began his public life. It says that he was about 30 years old. In the Bible, when an important event takes place, there is often a record of the age of the central figure. When Jesus punished the world at the time of Noah with water, it states Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark he built according to God's command before it began to rain. The Bible also records that when Abraham left his hometown, he was 75 years old, and that Moses was 80 when he was called to lead the exodus of Israelites out of Egypt. There are many figures in the Bible that began working for God at the age of 30. Joseph was 30 when he began interpreting Pharaoh's dreams and when he was sent before Pharaoh to deal with the famine. David was also 30 when he was anointed as the king of Judah at Hebron. And John the Baptist, who received the mission to prepare for Jesus' coming, also spent years in the wilderness for his spirit to be strengthened until the age of 30. The fact that Jesus was around 30 when he began his ministry has to do with the age that the Levites began working. The descendants of Levi began serving in the tabernacle at the age of 30, 5 years. From the age of 25, they learned from other priests. And when they turned 30, they became official priests and served through the age of 50. So Jesus, who came as the eternal priest, having begun his ministry at age 30, would have been regarded appropriate at the time. Jesus, having begun his ministry at age 30, gives us a lot to think about. For most people, the years in their 30s are the busiest. Nowadays, the average age people get married has gone up. The average life expectancy has also gotten longer. So years in people's 40s will probably have become busier as well. Because this is a time when people are required to do the most work at their places of work, it could be difficult for people to reflect upon themselves. So it may be difficult for people to live lives of faith. It is also a time children are young, so they need great care by their parents. So for parents with young people, this is a time when they are always short of time, tired, and in a state of tension. Of course, raising one's children properly is the number one duty of parents and also a blessing, so parents cannot abandon this duty. But they need to be able to go a step forward before God along with parenting and to be able to kneel before God because they are tired. Only when we are able to come before the Lord, when we spend the busiest time of our lives, will we be able to do so on later on as well. What we learn from deeply trusting the Lord during our busiest times becomes a valuable spiritual asset. Let's look at the latter half of verse 23. He was the son, so it was thought of Joseph. At the time, most people knew of Jesus as the son of Joseph. This is actually what made it difficult for them to accept Jesus as Lord. People thought they knew well who Jesus was. They could not accept Jesus as their Savior because they simply thought of Jesus as the son of a carpenter. A few years ago, I saw on a Korean TV show a master diamond cutter. It was about a person who cut a rough gemstone into a diamond with 58 sides. It was amazing to see him do the fine cutting, but also to see him identify diamonds with his lips, with his eyes closed. Diamonds have greater heat conductivity, which makes them feel cooler than synthetic cubic zirconia gemstones. The diamond in rough gemstone form looked like a piece of glass. The master said most people think of a diamond in rough gemstone form worth 20 million won simply as a stone. He said nobody would pick it up if the gemstone were to be thrown outside. So the program did a hidden camera experiment. They placed a 500 won coin and a very small diamond gemstone worth 20 million won, about 20 to 30 centimeters next to the coin at a bench in front of Changdeok Palace where lots of people passed by. Two students that sat on the bench took the 500 won coin as if they found a fortune. Another couple showed the same response. The producers relocated the coin and the diamond gemstone to a chair made with a long stone. People showed the same response. A person on the show asked the person who took the 501 coin. Did you see this next to the 501 coin? All of the people said they did not see the gemstone. This is a diamond gemstone. It becomes a diamond worth 20 million won after it is cut, the person said. The people said, this is a diamond. It's ugly. The person took the master, told the master after conducting the experiment. We left this on a bench for 2 hours, but nobody took it. The master said, it only looks like stone to people. I would want to come across that gemstone. Jesus was like a diamond with eternal value. But people simply regarded him as a stone and were only interested in obtaining things like the 501 coin. The genealogy in today's passage emphasizes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 38 says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The part in verse 23 that says he was the son, so it was thought of Joseph, seems like it is implying people thought they knew Jesus, but they did not. The genealogy of Jesus does not end with Adam, but with God. People simply knew Jesus as the son of Joseph. But Luke records that he is the Son of God. This is not the only passage that records this. The angel Gabriel appeared before Mary and told her she would have a baby. At the time, Mary asked, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Gabriel responded, saying the following. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Because Jesus was the Son of God, he had angels in heaven sing when he was born, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Who is Jesus to you? Who do you know him to be? Is the Jesus you know and serve more precious than the Lord you formerly knew? Some time ago, a member of the church sent me a text message. The member said their Bible study group was planning their last meeting of the year. They were planning to share their favorite hymn and sing each one together. And the member asked me to share my favorite hymn, or one that I thought of as I reflect on the past year, and why I chose that certain hymn. So I sent the member two hymns, hymn number 315, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," and hymn number 438, "Where Jesus Is, This Is Heaven." And I also explained why these are my favorite hymns. Hymn number 315 is because I want to love Jesus more than before, so that I love Jesus the most when I stand before him. And hymn number 438 is because I want to walk with the Lord in all the spheres of my life and receive his rule to be able to make each sphere a small kingdom of God. At the end of the small kingdom of God will be the eternal kingdom of God, and our Lord will be waiting for us with open arms there. There is a hymn that I sing sometimes. It's called, "The More You Serve, the More Precious You Are." These are the lyrics. After I invited Jesus into my heart, he has led me. After I gave my heart to Jesus, the more I serve, the more precious Jesus becomes. The more I love, the more Jesus loves me. Joy overflows in my heart daily. The more I serve, the more precious Jesus becomes. This is true. The more we learn about him, our Lord is our amazing Savior, and the more we serve him, the more precious he becomes. If we love him with all our heart, we'll be able to realize how much he loves us. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells various parables of the kingdom of God. This is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. People did not know that the treasure hidden in the field was treasure. But the person who was plowing the field saw the treasure and knew that it would become joy for him to sell all he owned to buy the land. People also did not know what kind of pearl the pearl they saw was. But the merchant who was looking for fine pearls saw it and bought it, knowing that it was worth more than everything he owned. Our Lord Jesus Christ is like this hidden treasure and fine pearl. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, a time we prepare for the Nativity of Christ and wait for his second coming. Jesus came to this world to save us who died of our faults and sin and gave us eternal life. We who believe in Jesus are then people who converse with Jesus to learn more about him. We will find that the more we learn about him, that he is like a treasure that cannot be compared with anything else. And the more we serve him, we will realize how precious he is. Let us not only realize this, but become people who live to learn more about Jesus. When we live this way, our lives will become a form of worship offered in spirit and truth, and we will become channels for God's work in the spheres of our lives. Let us pray. Father God, the Israelites, especially those who lived in Nazareth, Galilee, would have thought they knew Jesus better than anyone else. But the fact that they thought they knew Jesus served as an obstacle in properly learning who he was. The Apostle Paul also thought at a time he knew God better than anyone else. And that is why he persecuted the people who believed in and followed Jesus, who was a carpenter from Nazareth, Galilee. But after he met the resurrected Christ, he realized how wrong he was about him. He thought he knew, but he realized that he had scales on his eyes. Marking the third week of Advent, allow us to reflect on whether we have not been wrong about you. Let us know you better as the time we have known you accumulates. So let us serve you more today than yesterday, and more tomorrow than today, so that we meet Jesus who is more precious. And let us love you now more than before, and more in the future than now. So as time passes, let us learn more about you and love you more. And thus, let us serve as channels for your work in the spheres of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.